This is Loki and Tony's Excellent Adventure in World Saving, an Avengers movieverse fanfiction written by PPR Faith and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated R and takes place after the 2012 Avengers movie. As such, it also contains spoilers for Iron Man 1 and 2 and also the movie Thor. Pairings in this story include Tony Loki and Clint Natasha Coulson, with some one-sided Steve Tony and some Bruce Science. Additional tags for the story include Cis Girl Tony, Shapeshifter Loki, Pregnancy, Pregnant Sex, Pregnancy Hormones, Femslash Gender Swap, mentions of torture, rape, and non-consensual bodily modification, post-traumatic stress disorder, potential suicidal ideation, badass ladies being badass, spoilers for all the movies, emotional constipation, feelings, romance, world-saving, hand-wavy science, subversive Tony, pining Steve, they call him Loki Silvertongue for a reason, science bros, emotional issues, angst, flashbacks, Norse mythology used as canon, Odin Allfather is a terrible dad, sarcasm, romance, baby clothes, Uncle Thor, magic, and cupcakes. This story was written and recorded for the 2012 Pod Together Challenge. Readers and author's notes may be found after the fic. Sometimes Manhattan chokes, Tony. All the sleek lines, all the glass and steel and sharply cut people make her want to heave, to maybe hide away in her bed and cry a little because she's a futurist, but she's also a girl somewhere underneath. And sometimes a girl needs clutter and old things and pretty things, okay? So here she is, far, far from Manhattan's future-today life, strolling down a random street in New York, bags in each hand, window shopping for things she doesn't need. She's already bought a bunch of $30 jeans to ruin in the workshop without making Pepper cringe, and a pair of candle holders that her interior designer will probably use to try and kill herself with, because they are kitschy and bulky and cheap, and they don't fit in Stark Tower at all. And now, she's going to have ice cream. And no one is going to take pictures of her doing it, and no villain is going to try and set the world on fire, and no stock crash will call her away. She's wearing bug-eyed shades, her hair is in a loose bun, and there isn't a speck of makeup on her face. The arc reactor is carefully taped up under her clothes, and she's wearing jeans and flip-flops and a t-shirt. It's as undercover as she ever gets. But really, if the trick of getting places you're not supposed to go is looking like you belong, then the trick of disappearing is going places you're not supposed to be. No one expects Antonia Stark to be shopping in $5 flip-flops, so that's exactly what she's doing. Someone, Steve probably, is going to give her hell about the security risk later, but she turned 38 without him to hover over her, and she's got her brain and a tweaked taser in her purse. What else does she need? Nothing. That's what. Ever since the space invasion 6 months ago, she's had work shoved down her throat at all hours. S.H.I.E.L.D. wants better tech, the Avengers wants new toys, the world wants Iron Woman, and her investors want Tony fucking Stark. She's been running herself ragged, and despite what nasty people, Pepper, claim, she does possess enough self-awareness to know it. She just usually ignores that knowledge in favor of building things that will shut all her critics up in sheer, dumbstruck awe. She's gotten better about that lately, though. It's the whole stable-ish thing she's got going. The new and improved Tony Stark. Less promiscuous and self-destructive, just as brilliant, just as mouthy, and a lot less drugged up. And not dying. That definitely makes the list. But good girl or not, sleep is still not her favorite pastime. So here she is on a Tuesday afternoon, reviving a little tradition she hasn't indulged in in years. Shopping. Like a semi-regular 30-something woman who isn't a superhero in her spare time. And her work time. And any time that's not covered by spare time and work time. She might need a vacation, actually. A display catches her attention just then, stuffed to the ceiling with lovely, sugary, pastel-y cupcakes with all sorts of girly decorations. Butterflies, flowers, hearts. They're pink and yellow and green and baby blue, and there's glitter on some. They're utterly ridiculous. Obviously, Tony wants one. She turns fully to take in the display of sugar coma-inducing goodness when something in the glass flashes bright green. And maybe it's ridiculous, but 6 months with Bruce Banner's anger management issues have conditioned all the Avengers to react to green like a bull does to red. So Tony whirls around, muscles tensing, and... wow. There's a woman standing in front of the display window across the street. It's full of stuffed toys and cute little onesies and baby hats and other fuzzy, adorable things Tony will never need. But that's not the interesting part. No, sir. That'd be the woman. She's tall. Ridiculously tall. Especially with the addition of 5-inch heels that would make Pepper weep with envy. Black hair cascades down her back in perfect curls, the way it never, ever does in real life. Tony knows. Many a stylist has tried to achieve a similar effect with her rassiness of hair. None have succeeded. The green she saw is the woman's dress. A short, flowing thing with 3/4 sleeves and an empire waist, flaring out elegantly. It stops about 1/2 inch below the woman's admittedly, absolutely, annoyingly, obscenely perfect ass, teasing with the promise of the next gust of wind, and... it's probably taped down. At least, it would be if Tony were the one wearing it. You do not wear dresses that scandalous without a bit of good old tape to help you out. But, tape or no tape, that woman is a knockout. And the men passing her by are all proving it by staring stupidly and craning their necks like teenagers. As Tony watches, the woman keeps shifting from one leg to the other, jutting out hips and folding her arms behind her back to push out her chest. Teasing. Playing. And all the while studying the baby clothing in the window with chilling intensity. Tony stands, staring for a minute, before the woman raises her head, and their gazes meet briefly in the baby shop's window. For a moment, Tony considers pressing the panic button in her jeans. Then she considers walking away. But really, when has she ever done the smart thing? So she tightens her grip on her bags, and makes her way across the street to lean against the window the brunette is still staring into. Bad day? She asks, watching a guy in a sports jacket run smack into an elderly lady because he's so busy checking out the supermodel he just passed. An eyebrow rises elegantly. Green eyes flash. What makes you say that? Rolling her shoulders, Tony makes a so-so motion with one hand. You're playing pick-me-up. The second eyebrow joins the first. I beg your pardon? This game you're playing, where you make men go nuts and pretend you don't notice? I do that sometimes when I have a bad day. And you are definitely doing it now. I'm not doing anything, the taller woman rebukes disdainfully. Tony sighs. In the past minute, I've watched no less than 3 men walk into that mailbox over there because they were too busy staring at your ass to watch where they're going. Woman's lips twitch. Gotcha. So, I ask again, Loki. Bad day? She isn't sure what she expected the trickster to do when she called him by name, But jumping half out of her... his skin definitely wasn't it. Of course, Loki wouldn't be Loki if she didn't have herself back together faster than Tony can blink. So you do recognize me, Stark? I had wondered. She checks her reflection in the window once, and then casually turns away. Too casually. Tony looks at the onesies and then at the god. Goddess, theoretically at the moment. And wonders. Your eyes stay the same, she offers offhandedly. Nevertheless, I am currently female. Most people would use that as an identifier rather than eye color. Pointing to her own chest, Tony snorts. Not most people. Obviously. You should be running from me. Shrugging again, Tony pouts a little. Yeah, probably. But in the 6 months since he invited a space army to Earth, Loki has been a surprisingly good boy. Odin let him off pretty much scot-free because, according to Asgardian law, there'd been no crime. Trying to end Jotunheim had been punished aplenty by falling into the void between worlds, and whatever Loki had done on Earth had happened before there had been an official treaty in place. And because Odin said Loki was free to go, S.H.I.E.L.D. can't do shit about it. As a sort of community service, Loki has been saddled with rebuilding the Bifrost, but that's it. A slap on the wrist, nothing more. Fury reportedly pitched a shit fit that was heard throughout the entirety of HQ. Half a dozen agents had to be removed from the conference room in tears. One of them quit on the spot. Tony is still trying to get her hands on the security feed, but so far without success. Even now, months after Thor dropped by to give them the verdict, Fury and most of S.H.I.E.L.D. are, pardon the pun, furious about it. Tony isn't sure if it's Loki's lack of punishment that pisses them off, or the fact that they have to bow to someone else's ruling. Her money is on the second more than the first, really. Thor seems relieved he won't be making visits to whatever Asgard calls a jail anytime soon, and Natasha, of all people, is surprisingly quiet about the whole thing. Clint grinds his teeth a lot, Coulson has only bland looks to offer on the subject, and Steve is being Steve. The same way Bruce is being Bruce, only more annoying. Tony, who has identified with the god since day one and on far too many levels, has wisely kept her mouth shut. She was the one that got closest to him in Stark Tower. She offered him a drink, and she stood less than 2 feet from him as he ranted and raved. She saw the look in his eyes. She remembers it from that day, and from a shard of mirror hung on a damp wall in a cave in Afghanistan. People forget, far too easily, that before Tony became Iron Woman, she was a bombed-out shell of a human being. And before that, she was the Merchant of Death, the Corpse Bride, the world's biggest death dealer. Tony understands moral ambiguity, perhaps better than anyone. Loki is a liar and a thief, but he's not a murderer. He's not a ruler. She has no idea what he wanted, but she knows the Earth wasn't it. Every day he doesn't open a black hole in the sky and let the world get sucked into it proves her right. And now here he is, a she, walking around New York, causing the kind of mischief Tony can absolutely get behind. The fun kind. So, yeah, maybe she should run. Maybe that's exactly what Loki wants. Or maybe that's just what he wants to want, the same way Tony wants to be hated, because it's better than being disappointed by those that love her and then leave anyway. I'm having a cupcake. Would you like one? My treat. Loki stares at her for a very long time, before shaking her raven mane Yes, Tony is calling it that. There is no other way to describe that much hair that black. And laughing. You keep surprising me, Stark. I'm not sure I like it. Snorting, Tony pushes away from the window. Liar. With a smirk, Loki inclines her head, taking it as a compliment. Besides, you never did collect on that drink. I owe you one. She thinks that might do the trick, but Loki still doesn't move. She rolls her eyes. Fine. Look, I'm having a girl's day out. Just me and ridiculous shopping and sugar-loaded baked goods. Because I'm having a shitty week, and I deserve it. Since you obviously had a bad day, you're welcome to join me. I read somewhere that girls' days out are supposed to involve more than one girl anyway. She frowns a bit because, no, why do you ask? She isn't very good at normal and never has been. But she watched Sex and the City for a long time. Because Pep made her. That's her story, and she's sticking to it. Again, something like surprise crosses Loki's face. Oh, Tony's just batting 100 today. Am I a girl? She asks, because, of course, a simple statement is beneath a god. Tony has no idea how people believed that Thor and Loki are blood-related for over 1,000 years. Let's see, she drawls. Tits, legs, indoor plumbing. Yep, you're a girl today. For the longest time, Loki just looks. You do not mind my shape-shifting. Tony blinks. Well, no. Why would I? Girl, boy, it's all the same, and you're fucking gorgeous either way, so stop fishing for compliments and get a move on before Doom decides to blow up Manhattan while we're standing here. You may not age, but I sure do. Finally, Loki stops stalling and crosses the street in a few long strides, her legs looking absolutely perfect, her hair swaying in time with her hips. Tony jogs after her in fire engine red flip-flops and ridiculous sunglasses, and suddenly feels like an ugly duckling. That's what she gets for inviting a supervillain cum supermodel to have lunch with her, she guesses. Inside the little shop, Loki sits with her legs crossed at the knee, making the kid behind the counter almost die from rapid blood drain to the crotch. Tony snorts and slouches in the other chair, shoving her shades into her hair. They don't talk until they've placed their orders, and the kid stumbled away, muttering to himself, bright red in the face. And even then, conversation doesn't really happen until Tony asks, "So, would it be dumb of me to ask what you've been up to since you tried to end the world?" Tact? What is this thing you speak of? Loki doesn't smile, but it's a close thing for a moment before she manages to tame the expression into a smug little smirk. I am sure you know all about that. You mean the sordid details of your trial and how you stomped out in a fit of pique because Odin still doesn't recognize you as anything but an errant child? Yeah, Thor gave us a play-by-play. I meant after, actually, but... What? Did Thor actually say that? Oh, crap. Issues. Loki has issues, and Tony should have kept her mouth shut, and now she's going to end up a big, fat smear of Stark in this nice little bakery, and that is going to be all she wrote. Nice going, Tony. One of these days, she's going to invent that brain-mouth filter. If she lives long enough. No? Not in so many words, I mean, but isn't that what you were doing? With the whole psh? She makes an exploding motion with both hands. I mean, right? Loki laughs. It's a loud, full belly laugh that doesn't sound choked at all, no sir. And it makes Tony go very, very still. Because shit. And then the god... Goddess? God. Shakes her head and gasps for air and asks, How is it that you figure out in months what my lovely kin has not managed to decipher in lifetimes? Tony should shut up. Tony should walk away. Loki is the enemy, is unstable, is a little bitch even when she's a he. Loki tried to kill them all and end the world. Loki might kill her now. Loki doesn't deserve to sit at nice tables having cupcakes with heart-shaped sprinkles. Loki doesn't deserve to have Tony's heart aching for her. Loki doesn't deserve a lot of things. But neither does Tony. And she's still here, having heart-shaped sprinkles on her cupcake. So she doesn't wonder why Loki is here now today like this. She doesn't wonder why she's so open, so raw. She doesn't wonder about the baby clothes. That's a lie. Of course she does. She's a genius. Her brain never stops. She wonders, but she doesn't use it. She just says, I'm sorry. Because, Jesus, hasn't anyone looked at Loki? Just looked? Ever? The guy needs a hug more than he needs a muzzle in world domination. And despite the fact that there's history there, despite their being enemies officially, Tony gets Loki the way she's only ever got machines before. And maybe she's right. Maybe these two words, are all Loki ever needed. Maybe he looks at Loki and sees something he understands, too. Maybe they're both far, far too similar. Maybe they're both lonely. Whatever the reason, whatever the motivation, when Loki is done almost laughing tears because it has to be Tony fucking Stark that sees through her, she whispers, I'm pregnant. And Tony doesn't flinch, doesn't bat an eyelash. Just puts it all together. Female shape, bitter smile, baby clothes, flaring, flowing dresses and wistful looks, and says, I know. It's weird. In a way, it's the weirdest thing Tony has ever done, sitting here, eating cupcakes with a god who is currently a goddess, has tried to kill her, caused billions in damage to the city, and is knocked up. There was that one time with the donkey, the pineapple, and the tutu in Mexico, but no. This is definitely weirder. Also, Tony is sober now, and she definitely wasn't with the donkey business. Yet, here she is, sipping coffee and picking at a pale pink cupcake while Loki Lysmith sits across from her, dunking her baby blue cupcake into her disgusting herbal tea and trying not to make appreciative noises. Are those cravings, or are you always that much of a freak? Tony finds herself asking, and for a second, Loki spears her with a glare that reminds her that, yes, tried to end the world less than a year ago. And no, isn't actually reformed, just... Hey, what are you up to? Aside from... She waves a hand vaguely at Loki's midsection. I'm not up to anything, the god answers snappishly. And I should believe that... Why? Because I am tired and with child, comes the arch suggestion. Tony could ask what tired is supposed to mean, but she knows already. Loki has had a long few years, and he already looked like death warmed over during the Battle of Manhattan. And now he's... Okay, too weird. She is... pregnant. How did that happen anyway? Tony could ask, but she won't, because they are both geniuses, and they don't need to have conversations about the obvious. That's what Tony loves most about Bruce, to be honest. She can trust him to keep up without needing to have all those long talks normal people need to have to bridge the gaps. Loki keeps up, too. Hell, Loki could probably run circles around her. So instead, Tony asks, "Why are you telling me this? Why did you come up to me on the street? Had to make sure you weren't about to cause mass destruction, didn't I?" This time it's Loki who calls Tony out by saying, "Liar." Surprisingly, though, she lets it drop. "Out of everyone I talked to on Earth, you were the only one who saw the endgame. You were the only one who understood that there was no way to win your fight," Tony offers, because, yeah, she remembers that. Between booze and panic, she remembers some big, smart line about there being no version where Loki wins. She'd say it was there for all the world to see, right in his eyes, but she's long since grown used to the world being utterly blind. Thor guessed at some of his brother's plans, she suspects, but only because he's had a long, long time to learn. "No satisfactory conclusion to the events," Loki corrects primly. A laugh escapes Tony, small but honest. It surprises them both, she thinks. "I knew," she admits, for no reason she can finger. "Even when you were trying to put the whammy on me, I knew that you and I could get along. Life being what it is, her phone chooses that moment to start wailing the horrible ringtone she assigned to Avengers Business. Which means she can't ignore it. She grabs the phone from her purse, finds coordinates on the screen, and curses, low and heartfelt. "I gotta run, apparently. She stands, throws a few bills on the table, and then turns to face Loki, still sitting perfectly still, perfectly poised. "We should finish this some other time." "You would meet me again?" Loki asks, sounding amused at the deranged human in front of her. Shrugging, Tony nods. "You haven't tried to kill me today. A new decent conversation." She flashes her best grin at that. Perfect, media smile, stark charm practically oozing from every pore. This might be crazy, but Tony routinely takes to the sky in a metal suit and expects to fly, not fall. Crazy is what she puts on her cornflakes. "See ya," she hollers in the end, already on her way to the door, not giving Loki a chance to answer. She finds Happy parked two blocks down and throws her bags into the trunk. Grabs her suitcase suit and kicks it into action. 30 seconds later, she's online and in the air, laughing with the thrill of it, arms spread wide. "Guys," she calls, "I'm here. Where's the party?" Steve grunts over comms. Natasha mutters something in Russian, and Coulson, ever effective, fills her in less than 3 sentences. Here goes nothing. The next morning, bone-tired from fighting something that looked like mutated giant squids but probably wasn't really for most of the afternoon and night, Tony wakes to Jarvis's dulcet tones, rolls over, and buries her head under a pillow. She's trying to figure out if Pepper will bust her ass if she just stays in bed when she suddenly remembers, "Jesus fuck, did that actually happen? Jarvis, did that happen?"
"I am unsure what you are referring to, Miss Stark,"
Jarvis politely declares. So she waves him off, slumps face first into her bed again, and thinks that, yes, she actually did have lunch with Loki. And she liked it. She rolls onto her back with a sigh, brain already booting because sticking her head in the sand never worked out before. So she'll pull on her big girl panties and deal. To the ceiling, she says. "Did you get the conversation yesterday?"
"You were carrying your phone, Miss Stark,"
Jarvis points out, which is a polite way of telling her that obviously he did. Why is she asking stupid questions again? One of these days, Tony will take away his ability to snark at her. Right after she fixes the gaping hole in her chest, cures herself of promiscuity, and stops being an ass to people just because she can. I want a risk analysis and anything you can glean from the conversation that might concern Project Doomsday.
Very well. Would you like me to hypothesize?
She hesitates for a moment, then nods. Might as well. Anything you can come up with goes into the project, the risk analysis too. And see if you can pull footage from the area, see which way Loki came and went. Then bury whatever you find. Don't need shield on our asses for this. Jarvis gives her another affirmative, and then turns his attention inward to do what she's asked him to. Because Tony doesn't order Jarvis, and she never has. She built him piece by piece, code string by code string. Gave him sentience, gave him the ability to learn, to decide. Jarvis is as human as anything can get without being born, and she made him. She doesn't order him. Ever. Instead, she rolls groggily to her feet and stumbles down into the living area, where nothing remains of the destruction Loki and the Hulk caused there only a few months ago. She almost kept the hole in the ground just to be an ass, but Bruce has killer puppy dog eyes. By the time she reaches the kitchen, the coffee is almost done percolating, and Dummy greets her with a newspaper, which she dumps on the counter, and a waffle iron. A waffle iron, Dummy? He chirps at her, swings his arm a bit, waits for her to take it. Are you telling me to eat, or are you glitching again? More chirping. Then he rolls away. Tony puts the waffle iron on top of the newspaper and rubs at her forehead. She loves all her little homemade friends. She does. But Dummy and you are the result of a 2-week bender and a lot of spite. She still can't figure out some of the code she programmed into them. Smashed out of her skull and in a piss-poor mood, because no one at MIT took a scrawny 15-year-old girl with chopped-off hair and a chip on her shoulder seriously. She pours herself a cup of black ambrosia and sits, tapping bitten-down nails against the counter. She calls up a screen on the nearest glass surface and checks her emails. Work, 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 spam, and a painfully correctly worded email from Steve asking if she has time this weekend to do something. She ignores all important communications, tells Steve that she does something all the time, and could he please be more specific, and then settles down to stare into the middle distance and plot. Project Doomsday, she thinks, takes a scalding sip of her coffee. It's her very own project, locked away as deeply as the Iron Woman designs and specs, but a lot newer than those. Doomsday didn't exist until the first time she got a breather after the Chitauri. The first time she sat down without hurting all over and thought the events through. She came up with a lot of things that everyone else missed, apparently. She can't blame them. Few people see things the way she does, all laid out in patterns and designs. Plus, it had been a busy few days. But there were things, glaringly obvious things that, even 6 months later, no one has taken the time to put together. Hence, the project. It's a collection of random information and ideas, just brain farts that she hopes will one day turn into a weapon to fight magic. Because yes, she swore she'd never build weapons again, swore she was done. But she knows that they haven't seen the last of invading aliens, and Tony needs, more than any oath, to keep the people she loves safe. Because the things everyone else failed to notice are these. Loki fell without the scepter, and then showed up on Earth with it in his hands, doing things that had even Thor gaping. And it interacted with the cube. That means that someone built the scepter for Loki. Someone possessing skills and powers that no one in Asgard can match. Someone who can draw on a power similar enough to the Tesseract to link with it. Someone who Loki has not mentioned with a single word, which means the god is either covering for them or afraid to talk. Since Loki doesn't cover for anyone, Well. Then there was Tony's little jaunt at the wrong end of the universe. She saw that ship, and it was monstrous. She thought she ended it when she let go of the nuke, but reviewing Jarvis's footage from the suit, which is battle protocols that automatically record life signs, tells a different story. She destroyed a ship out there, not the ship. There were other life signs in that vast, empty space, and there were many. In the few seconds she spent out there with the suit still operational, Jarvis recorded literally millions of life signs. An army. An army bigger than anything anyone on Earth has ever dreamed of. And Tony went and poked it with a big, fat nuke. And then there's Loki, who was far, far too careful with whom he killed. Those men at the shield base? All but three died in the cave-in. Suspiciously low death count for a pissed-off god. He just took the two most capable men in the room and left. Then Stuttgart. The man he needed the eyeball from, the cop car which got upended without anyone dying. On the helicarrier, he didn't touch anyone. Clint shot out one turbine and then fed a virus into another. Why not shoot out both and make sure the thing really goes down? Why not take out the bridge? Why sneak around instead of a full-on assault? Why not teleport the fuck out of there and not bother with S.H.I.E.L.D. at all? Coulson. Coulson almost died. But Coulson aimed an experimental weapon designed from magic at Loki. Later, in the city, teasing and taunts and explosions. There were many, many deaths that day, and yes, all of those are indirectly Loki's fault. But directly? None. Not a zilch. Tony went through hours and hours of footage and couldn't find Loki killing a single civilian directly. It's almost like he was going out of his way to not murder any more people than necessary. Like he was, what, keeping an escape route available? Trying not to turn them completely against him? Keeping his options open? So there is someone that gave Loki a weapon he couldn't have forged for himself. One that he only used to kill when he had to. And there is an army in space, big enough to turn this world to ash. Worrying. But what really scares Tony, back then and now, was the expression in Loki's eyes when she told him there was no version where he won, right over there by the windows. Which, in hindsight, wasn't the best place to taunt a god. It wasn't fear she saw there, although that was there too. No, what she saw when she told him that he couldn't win was a bitter, sinking satisfaction. He knew. All the time, when he let himself be caught too easily, when he played them, when he made great speeches, he knew there was no way for him to win. And that expression, that glimmer of sharp, angry determination and resignation, that was far, far too familiar. Tony has worn that look in a cave in Afghanistan. It's a look of someone who knows they're done for, but still intends to make the fuckers pay. And Loki's version of that look wasn't directed at her and their little band of misfit toys. It was directed at whoever gave him that scepter. The same person she probably made a bit peeved. She'd say she regrets committing what amounts to nuclear genocide, but Tony has never been burdened with an overabundance of conscience. Does she like that she had to do it? No. Does she lose sleep over it? No. She spent 20 years building weapons for humans to slaughter each other with. She's not going to cry over murdering the things that tried to take over her planet. But if Tony is right, then they're coming back. With more people and angrier than before. And when that happens, she plans to be prepared. And Loki? There's a reason she walked up to the god yesterday. Just like there's a reason Loki showed up in a random part of town yesterday and just so happened to catch Tony's eye. As much as Tony believes Loki to have been genuine with her, there was calculation there because it's Loki, and Loki is always calculating. When she appeared on that street, she was probably planning how many steps ahead? 3? 5? And Tony? Around how many corners did she plan when she walked up to the god? She takes another sip of her coffee and leans back in her seat, eyes closed. It's been a long, long time since she's met anyone that could think on her level, could predict her. That's not arrogance. That's fact. And it's turning Tony on. Two days after that, she is ruining a $3,000 dress by sitting cross-legged in her office chair, pretending to be signing papers when, really, she's doodling in the margins of a semi-important new contract. Pepper is a couple thousand miles away, so that's okay. Tony's new PA, a no-nonsense woman of about 50, has far too much respect for Tony to yell at her into doing her work or else. Really? She thought she'd be done with all the office sitting and contract signing after she gave Pepper her company. It's not fair, she grouses, coming up with about 17 more useful ways to spend her time right now, while she finishes another doodle of the arc reactor and then throws in a sloppy signature just so she can claim she's actually working. To reward herself, she checks her email for anything interesting. Steve again, asking if she wants to go to some gallery opening with him since he has tickets. She frowns, looks up the gallery, and yep, she owns half of the art there. And she is certainly not going to the opening after having weaseled out of it already when Pepper brought it up last week. She types a quick message back telling Steve to ask her if he wants to go see some gallery because chances are she has art in it and he can get in for free. And to take Pep, since she loves the stuff and is probably going to the opening anyway. They can be each other's annoyingly perfect arm candy. Once that is done, she waffles between more procrastination and more paperwork. Choices, choices. There's a knock on the door just then, and Marjorie... Yes. Pepper actually found someone named Marjorie for the sole purpose of making Tony's life harder than it is. Enters, a small box in her hand. For me? Tony asks, batting her lashes. You didn't have to, sweetheart. Marjorie's look isn't half as good as Pepper's. Tony says so. This just arrived for you, Miss Stark. I suggest you open it soon, since I suspect it contains perishables. I will collect your paperwork in an hour. She smiles, puts the box down, and walks out. Tony blinks. Okay, so maybe Marjorie will yell her into doing her work. Huh. Also, she sounds like Jarvis. Maybe she's an android? Nah, Tony didn't build her, and Lord knows no one else could. She shrugs, flicks her pen to the far corner of her perversely large desk, and grabs the box. It's small, pink, and has a little bow around it. Tony looks for a note, but there's nothing there. She'd check for explosives or something, but neither Jarvis nor security at the front entrance notice anything, so she figures she'll be fine. Or dead. Either way, she won't care much. She tugs at the bow, drops it carelessly to one side, opens the box, and stares. And stares. And stares. There's no card. There doesn't need to be. Because in gold on green icing, on top of a delicious looking cupcake, there is a phone number spelled out. Is the cupcake poisoned? Tony asks, as soon as Loki answers on the third ring. The god snorts delicately, apparently still female. Tony wonders briefly if she can actually change back to male while she's got one in the oven. Interesting question. Please, poison is far too plebeian for my tastes. It's Tony's turn to snort. Let me see. Sneaky, tricky, likes to plot from behind the scenes, lies a lot. Sorry, but poison seems right up your alley, buddy. The cupcake is not poisoned, Loki says instead of answering, like it annoys her to spell it out. And you want me to just trust your word? Tony wants to know, tracing the edges of the little box with one ragged fingernail. A moment of silence, then. Yes. Shrugging, Tony picks up the cupcake, licks her lips, and takes a huge bite. There's more silence on the other end as she chews, and then Loki says, I have no idea whether you are stupid or brave, Stark. Sucking icing from her teeth, Tony grins. I am one of the 5 smartest people on the planet. I think you'll have to go with brave. So, likelihood of me keeling over dead from this? Minimal, unless you have allergies no one knows about, Loki admits. Tony waits for her to say more, but it doesn't come. Did I pass your test? I am not sure yet. Okay, then. And because Loki is waiting for something and Tony really is a little bit stupid, she asks. Lunch? They meet in a coffee shop 20 minutes from Stark Tower, because Tony is reckless and a little bit stupid, not fucking dumb. She does not need Nick Fury yelling at her before... ever, actually. She has Jarvis slip into S.H.I.E.L.D. systems and conveniently blank her out for long enough to lose sight of her because, yes, she knows they're misappropriating surveillance equipment to follow her, and no, she doesn't usually care. She screws with him anyway at least once a week, though. Keeps him humble. Once Jarvis tells her she's clear, she changes directions and makes it to the coffee shop just after the lunch crowd starts to disperse. Loki is sitting at the very back, hands wrapped around what is probably more weird tea, an assortment of pastries on the table in front of her. Tony gets a coffee for herself and joins her, slipping into the booth with a smile hello. The god is dressed down today, and in black pants and a green blouse. She's also wearing flats, which is probably a good thing for Tony's ego, should they get up at some point. Maria Stark was a tiny thing, and Tony is her daughter in that, if not much else. What the hell are we doing? She asks after a minute of sitting quietly next to a god, waiting. Because this is a game, and they both know it. Loki's lips quirk. I believe this particular social convention is called having lunch. Tony gives her own version of the look. Surprisingly, it actually sort of works, because the other woman admits, I don't know. You're the one who sent me baked goods and a phone number. You're the one that invited me to lunch. Twice. You're the one that didn't disintegrate me the moment you lay eyes on me. You're the one that didn't call the Avengers to lock me up in your tower the moment you lay eyes on me. You're the one... Tony huffs. You're willing to play this ad absurdum, aren't you? This time, she gets a full-blown smirk. Yes.
It does things to Tony's insides, so she looks away, sips her coffee, and eventually asks, with more calculation than is audible in her voice, "How's the nudger?"
"I beg your pardon?"
"You know, you could just say what, like everyone else."
"I have manners."
"This is New York. No one has manners. Besides, I think attempted wholesale destruction frees you from common courtesy."
"You are a planet of heathens."
"Did you know that your religion is referred to as pagan in most parts of the world?"
"I could kill you with my little finger."
"I'd go down ruining your nail job."
"What is a nudger, Stark?"
"Call me Tony, and read Twilight? I was asking how the baby is."
Tony does not miss the way Loki's cool gaze sweeps the entire room before answering. "Fine. I am hardly 8 weeks along. There is not much to tell yet." Tony blinks at that.
"Have you done this before?"
"In this life, once before. Sleipnir remains in Asgard."
"In this life?"
No one does contempt quite as well as Loki. Tony suspects it's the eyebrows, and the posh accent, too. The combination is frightening.
"You have known my oaf of a brother for over 6 months, have known of him for longer, and you have yet to read up on our mythology."
Testily, Tony shoots back.
"I was a bit busy trying to save the world from you."
Loki scowls, sips her tea with icy efficiency, and then offers, "It's a girl." Tony smiles, congratulates her, and doesn't ask how she knows if she's only 8 weeks along.
It's probably magic. This is Loki, after all.
She works on her coffee as she leans back and replays the conversation in her head.
By her count, there were at least 3 times where Loki should have walked out, tried to incinerate her, started yelling threats.
She's taken none of them. Tony knows why she's here. Because there's a file buried on her servers that spells out doom for all of mankind, or something equally dramatic. And if she's honest, because she's slightly unhinged and has never been able to resist a puzzle, especially not one as complex as the god across from her. It doesn't hurt that she finds herself genuinely enjoying their verbal battles, as long as they don't end in real battles. It's hard to find anyone that can truly match Tony Stark at her best, running off at the mouth at 200 miles an hour. Yes, she knows why she's here. The question is, why is Loki? She has ideas, sure, but the baby thing... Loki is giving her too much information to make her think this is just a con. Or maybe that is the con. So, what have you been up to? You dodged the question last time.
Perhaps I did not wish to answer.
Really? Sorry, missed the cue. So, what have you been up to?
You have a very big mouth for such a puny mortal.
That's what she said.
Loki's lips quirk again. It's unfair how good that makes her look.
You are vulgar.
You are trying to change the subject.
Did you know that it actually is possible to strangle someone with their intestines? It's all in the technique.
The passing busboy gives Loki a horrified look and squeaks a little.
Tony snorts into her coffee. The pregnancy hormones have kicked in then, yeah?
She says it just loud enough for the kid to hear. Maybe, if she's lucky, he won't call the cops because he fears for his life.
Loki pouts. You've ruined my fun.
That was fun? Wow, you really didn't get out a lot back in good old Asgard, did you?
Coming from Antonia Stark, the world's most infamous hermit. Hey, I wasn't always a hermit. I used to go out a lot. Like, enough for several lifetimes. I'm cashing in on that now. More important things to do, if you know what I mean. Yes. What did you call it? Avenging the Earth? Cringing, Tony admits. Okay, not my best moment. Don't quote me on that. It sounds horrible out of context. Not only out of it, Loki argues. You're a real bitch, did you know that? It's official. Tony has no sense of self-preservation. And Loki apparently has no normal reactions to anything because she laughs. Thank you. And then, abruptly, she sobers. I have been preparing, she says, and whatever doubts Tony had about why they are here disappear like expensive booze on one of her bad days. For whatever is waiting at the other end of that portal, she offers, putting her coffee down to fold her hands, rest her chin on them, attentive. In her pocket, Jarvis is recording every word they say. Above their heads, he's watching through every camera this place has. People keep calling Jarvis creepy, but they always think getting away from him is as easy as leaving Tony's home. It doesn't give her a lot of faith in humanity as a whole's survival skill. Head cocked bird-like to one side, the other woman nods. I should have expected that you would be the one to figure it out, she murmurs, mostly to herself. Then, louder. You used to build weapons. Yes. Tony Stark used to build weapons because that's what Daddy did, and that's what the world said she should do. It's funny. All the women she knows complain about being compared to their mothers, or turning into them. To Tony, Maria is a vague smudge of memory in the background of her childhood, smelling of sherry, expensive perfume, and old hopes. Front and center has always been Howard. She looks like him. She's smart like him. She talks and walks and thinks like him. He's the one everyone has always compared her to. The one she decided at the age of 13 to beat, even if it killed her. And hey, look, it almost did. Booze and sex and drugs and terrorists. She wonders sometimes, purely as a mental exercise, how different her life would be if she'd inherited her mother's straight black hair and light brown eyes, instead of Howard's brown on brown. If her eyes were rounder, her lips fuller. If she'd liked dolls growing up instead of tools. If the world had compared her to her mother, not her father, she might be in a very different place right now. Boring, irrelevant. Drink it away and move on. What made you stop? Note to self, Loki does not pull punches. A million answers. The press answer, the one for Pepper and Rhodey. The truth Tony whispers only to Jarvis. The truth she doesn't even tell him. In the end, all she tells Loki, all she gives the god is, actions have consequences. It expresses nothing, and at the same time, everything. I assume you have been working on the problem. The problem. Right, alien invasion! Loki makes it sound like an annoying rash, nothing more. A little. You failed, because you know nothing of magic. Involuntarily, Tony's eyes narrow. Are you calling me stupid? Limited, perhaps. But I would not be here if I did not think you have potential, Stark. That was almost a compliment. Sort of. Tony huffs and folds her arms under her chest, one eyebrow arched, waiting. Loki stares back for a minute before standing abruptly and ordering. Ordering! Follow me. She grabs one of the pastries on the table and starts stalking away, munching on it like she hasn't got a care in the world. Tony seriously considers not following. For all of 2 seconds. Then she scrambles to her feet. In a dignified way, thank you very much. And hurries to catch up to the god with the unfairly long legs.
Curiosity killed the cat, ma'am,
Jarvis says in her purse, his voice barely audible as they burst onto a busy New York street. Tony guesses his words more than she hears them. Satisfaction brought it back, she murmurs, mostly to herself. A few feet ahead, a man bumps into Loki and almost makes her drop her pastry. She hisses, glares, and then turns as if to rip off his head and possibly use it as a bowling ball. Then her expression sours, like she just imagined something disgusting, and she drops the pastry she just defended ferociously into the nearest trash bin. It's ridiculous to watch, and Tony has to bite back a giggle or two because, seriously, God, anyone? Hormones have kicked in then, she says, wisely only after she's got the giggle under control. Loki glares so hard she almost sprains something. Still doesn't smite Tony where she stands, though. This is getting far too interesting.